理课堂听 class.com。
Workbook, Unit 3, Art and Architecture, Integrating Skills, Reading and Discussing. The Function of Art. We see art everywhere around us, in public parks, city squares, shopping streets, and public buildings. We find modern art objects on display. Classical art, such as valuable paintings, precious statues,and other fine arts, usually ends up in the collections of museums, companies, or rich people. Although we can see some of it in museums, those other art collections are not open to the public. Both art and architecture have a history of ages. All forms and ways of expressing beauty have been explored. In the case of architecture, many buildings that were designed in the past have proven to be beautiful and serve their purposes. Governments and companies could save millions of dollars by building or copying designs of architecture of buildings from the past. There are still many designs for buildings made by famous architects that were never realized. Besides, some people find modern architecture ugly. So why should we pay a lot of money to architects for designing new buildings?The same holds for modern art, both paintings and statues. Many art objects that have been created in the past are now covered by dust in storerooms. These storerooms contain enough art to decorate all public buildings and other public places. There is no need to create more art, and, as with modern architecture, many people find new art difficult to understand or appreciate.Given these facts, why are architects and artists asked to create new artworks? And why are we interested in creating new art and architecture instead of using or copying what was made in the past? The answers to these questions have to do with the function of art in society today. First of all, the function of art is to decorate.By placing artworks in parks and hanging paintings or drawings on the walls, we make our living environment more beautiful. When our eyes move across an empty wall, they will for a few moments rest on a painting or other kind of work hung there. It is a moment of comfort and makes people feel good. Sometimes, paintings are not beautiful at first glance, but looking at them and thinking about them for a while,or repeated viewing will help us to learn to appreciate them. Another function of art is enriching real life, as art is part of everyday life. Art helps people to learn to think creatively. In art, things are not always what they seem to be. Art objects in a park are sometimes funny. Very often you can hardly tell what they are. People need such creative moments.It helps them to balance their minds. When we see art like that all around us, it helps to make life more interesting. Finally, art is often seen as a way to instruct the audience. Statues of heroes from the past remind us of our history. Paintings and other art objects can also help us to realize which goals we should set for ourselves and inspire us in our everyday work.Because ideas about society change and every period of time has its own taste, there is always a need for new art. We can still appreciate artworks made in the past for their beauty, but they are often too valuable to be placed in public buildings. Besides, they also often need special protection. Unit 4. A Garden of Poems. Speaking. Example.
I'm interested to read some romantic poetry about love and friendship.
Why are you interested in that kind of poetry?
Because I think romantic poetry is about real passion.
I see. What kind of poetry would you not like to read?
I I don't want to read English poetry about death and World War I, because I think it's too sad.
Reading English poetry. Reading poetry brings people from different places and different times together. More than any other form of literature, poetry plays with sounds, words, and grammar. That makes poetry difficult to write, but very interesting to read. Poetry also calls up all the colors, feelings, experiences, and curious images of the dream world. China has a long history during which many of the world's greatest poets were active. Poems by Du Fu, Li Bai, and Wang Wei, among others, stand out in the halls of glory. When you have read some Chinese poems, you will have seen and heard some of the features that all good poetry shares. The form is very important. The number of lines and the number of characters in each line. Poetry often follows special patterns of rhythm and rhyme. Despite its short history, there was a lot of good English poetry around. The earliest English poetry was written in a kind of English that is now difficult to understand. Modern English started around the time of William Shakespeare, towards the end of the 16th century. The 17th century was a great time for English poetry. Shakespeare is most famous for his plays. His sonnets, however, belong to the best English poetry. In the next generation of great English poets, we meet John Donne. Chinese readers admire his works because of his use of surprising images that reminds them of the works of poets such as Su Dongpo. Before the end of the century, there was another famous writer, John Milton. Once published, his work became famous for the absence of rhyme at the end of each line. In the 18th century, it was Alexander Pope who wrote the finest poetry in England. The next period that produced a great number of fine poets was the 19th century. Greatly loved in China are the English Romantic poets. Although they were all born in the 18th century, they wrote their major works in the early years of the 19th century. John Keats died at a very young age, in 1821, while William Wordsworth, who spent much of his time in the English Lake District, lived to the age of 80 and died in 1850. The nature poems by William Wordsworth, George Gordon Byron's Isles of Greece, and the sonnets and long poems by John Keats have long been favorites. The style and atmosphere in their poems has often led to comparisons with poets such as Du Fu and Li Bai. Finally, modern poets have their special attraction because they stand closest to us, both in the language and images they use. Among them, we find the American poet Robert Frost. The introduction of English poetry to China came late. Towards the end of the 19th century, Chinese writers started reading more foreign poetry. The great moment for European literature to come to China is between 1910 in the late 1930s, when famous writers such as Lu Xun and Guo Moruo translated both poetry and novels into Chinese. More and more people are interested to read modern poetry in English. Translations can be good, but being able to read in English gives you much more choice. Besides, no matter how well a poem is translated, something of the spirit of the original work is lost. Reading poetry in English also opens the door to finding new ways of expressing yourself in Chinese. Finally, poems and literature can be bridges between the East and the West. They can help us to understand each other better, or as Mu Dan wrote, quietly we embrace in a world lit up by words. Integrating skills. Reading, listening, and writing.
Songs and poems. One read, and sometimes even write poetry? That question is not difficult to answer if we change the word poetry to songs. I sing when I feel good. sing my favorite songs, I feel even better. Sometimes, when I'm listening to music and to the song words, I feel that it was written for me. A good song always makes me feel something. There are songs that I sing in my head between classes, and songs that I want to sing when the school bell rings by the end of the day. They help me get through the day. They are like bright and warm colors in the middle of grays and shades. I like songs about love and friendship. The extraordinary thing is, my feelings are more special when I sing my favorite songs in English. I also like reading. I used to avoid poetry until an epal told me I should recite poems and not look up the meaning of the words. Poetry uses many difficult words and idioms, but the best thing is to just forget about them. In the beginning, I felt quite strange. Now, I always lock the door. Reading aloud gives you a strange feeling, but when you have some practice and fall into the rhythm, the rhyme, and the sounds of the words, it is really a special experience. I started with small poems, but now I think I most like long poems. I have different feelings with different poems. When I have had a bad day at school, I read Keats and forget everything. When I'm sad, I read Wordsworth by the light of a candle. When the poem is finished, I close the book and my sadness is gone.
1. Listen to the tape and read the following poems in class. Discuss with your classmates what they mean to you. Dust of Snow. The way a crow shook down on me the dust of snow from a hemlock tree has given my heart a change of mood and saved some part of a day I had rued. By Robert Frost.
Right here waiting, oceans apart, day after day, and I slowly go insane. I hear your voice on the line, but it doesn't stop the pain. If I see you next to never, how can I say forever? Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. By Richard Marx.
Workbook, Unit 4, Integrating Skills, Reading, The Birth of Modern Poetry. When asked about poetry, most people will say that a poem is a text that has rhythm and rhyme. Famous are the lines by William Blake, which have clear rhythm and rhyme. Tiger, tiger, burning bright, in the forest of the night. Other people will add that poems must have a certain form, with a fixed number of lines and a fixed rhyme pattern, such as a sonnet. With rhyme, most people mean the rhyme of sound of words at the end of the lines. It is also true that much of the classical poetry that we have looks like that. Except for some short songs and poems included in his plays, all of Shakespeare's greatest poems are sonnets. John Milton was one of the first poets who started writing poems without rhyme at the end of the lines. He wrote other poems too, but he is famous for his long poems without rhyme. After Milton, almost every poet had a hand at this kind of poetry that was free of rhyme. Wordsworth and Keats wrote some such poems, but that is not what they are famous for. This style of poetry became known as free verse. It was not until the 20th century that modern poetry was really developed. Modern poets wanted to break with all the traditional forms of poetry. One of the characteristics of modern poetry is that it usually does not have rhyme at the end of a line, and it is also often about common topics. In China, free verse was known and used much earlier. The following poem by Bai Juyi is an example of a poem written in free verse.
The Unhappy Official by Bai Juyi. Never tired of study, reading until he could not see, holding his pen until his fingers became painful, sitting for exams 10 times until he passed. Success has come too late. He is now an important official, but his hair is already white. There is little happiness for him. When young, he spent his days being very poor. Now old and often sick, money and fame are of no use to him. Living behind the great red gates is a youth with the taste of mother's milk still in his mouth. Not much to look at, with soft skin like a girl's and a gentle face. He has never worn a soldier's uniform. At 20, he got his father's title and money. With the coming of spring, he is always playing outside, wearing soft furs and riding upon a fine horse, spending mornings with gamblers and drinkers, and in the evenings sleeping with the girls in a sing-song house. He spends his money paying wine bills, using what is left over on pretty girls. Besides drinking, singing, and hunting with dogs or horses, he knows little else. On the hills, wild grasses grow under a great pine tree. Two living things, one reaching high and the other happy to stay low, from old times it has been this way. You are not alone in knowing this sadness. Translation, Ray Alley.
Unit 5. The British Isles. Reading.
The British Isles. The idea that England stands for fish and chips, Speaker's Corner, Big Ben, and the Tower of London is past. Though many people around the world study its language, their view of British culture is sometimes narrow. The fact that Great Britain is made up of 3 countries is still unknown to many. Within Great Britain for many years now, there has been a growing movement to make the most of its cultural diversity. To see it as it really is, a nation of different countries held together by a common language and culture. The British Isles are a group of islands that lies off the west coast of Europe. The largest island is called Britain, which is separated from France by the English Channel, which at one point is only 20 miles wide. It forms the mainland of Great Britain and consists of 3 countries, Scotland in the north, Wales in the west, and England in the south and east. The island just west of Britain is called Ireland. Between Britain and Ireland, in the Irish Sea, lies the small Isle of Man. The British Isles are surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean to the west and the North Sea to the east. The climate of the British Isles is mild with a lot of rain. In general, Scotland is colder throughout the year and receives more rain. It rains a lot in England and Wales too, but the temperatures are more pleasant. In the summer months, the difference in temperature between London and the north can be as much as 9 degrees. The coldest months are January and February, while the warmest months are July and August. The culture of the people of the British Isles was influenced by the culture of the people on the European mainland. In the 5th century, people from different parts of Northern Europe settled in England, bringing their own culture and language with them. Their languages formed the basis for English. Some of the native population moved to the inland, mountainous parts of the islands, to Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, where they continued speaking their own languages. In 1066, England was conquered by the French. For the next few hundred years, the upper classes spoke French, while the common people spoke English. The result of this French influence was that the English language ended up with many French words, such as table, animal, and age. The United Kingdom has a long history. England and Scotland are kingdoms. The first two countries forming the Union were England and Wales in 1536. Wales had already been conquered by England in 1283, but it was not until 250 years later that they formed a single state. Scotland joined later in 1707, while the southern part of Ireland was only part of the UK for some time and is now an independent republic. Only the northern counties, making up Northern Ireland, are still part of the United Kingdom. The smaller islands, such as the Isle of Man, are neither part of the United Kingdom nor independent. They are ruled by the King of England. In modern times, people throughout the British Isles speak English. However, there are still people who also speak the older European languages, Welsh and Irish. There are six spoken languages that are considered to be native to the British Isles, as well as two local accents. That most of these are now threatened and may disappear is a serious matter to the people in Britain. They realize that it is of great value to record and teach them to the younger generation.
Integrating skills. Reading.
England, my England. It is 25 miles across the fields to Salisbury. Sheep can be seen everywhere, and the great number of them is really wonderful. All around the city of Salisbury, as far as 22 miles to the west, and 6 miles south, down to the coast, farmers raise sheep. There could be as many as 600,000 sheep fed within 6 miles of Salisbury, measuring every way around and the town in the centre. As we travelled through this country, we saw many old relics from ancient times and ruins of the native population of this kingdom. These are interesting to a traveller who has read something of the history of the country. The cathedral is famous for the height of its tower, which is without doubt the highest and the most handsome in England, being from the ground 404 feet. Salisbury itself is a large and fine city. It is built where two rivers come together. Neither of them is very big, but they become a large river when joined together, and yet larger when joined by a third river about 3 miles below the city. Then, through a deep channel, they flow through some gardens and down to Christchurch into the sea. The city of Salisbury has two important kinds of produce and trade, which employ the poor of a great part of the country round, namely, making cloth and sheets called Salisbury whites. The people of Salisbury are happy and rich. Their business is doing well, and there is a great deal of good manners and good company among them. I have written before that this country has high hills, whose tops spread out into green fields upon which great numbers of sheep are fed. But I want to tell the reader that these hills and fields are most beautiful, with many small and clear rivers, and rich fields bearing fruit and grain. All around we find nice little towns, villages, and houses, and among them many of good size. So you look at the fields and think the country wild and empty, and yet when you come down the hills you are surprised with the most beautiful and rich country in England.
Workbook, Unit 5, Integrating Skills, Reading. Ireland, the island in the west. The island of Ireland is just west of the UK and is the westernmost island in Europe. Although a small country, it has an amazing history of over 5,000 years. Few places on the planet are as packed with history as Ireland. Everywhere you look, there are castles and historical places. In Ireland, the past is part of the present, part of the people, and part of its culture. For much of its history, Ireland lay hidden behind its bigger neighbor, Great Britain. In fact, Ireland was part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland for many centuries until the 1920s. In 1921, the southern part of Ireland became independent, and the Republic of Ireland was founded. It is a state that covers more than 70,000 square kilometers, or 5/6 of the island of Ireland. It has 4 provinces, which altogether consist of 26 counties and 6 urban areas. Northern Ireland is part of the UK. The Republic of Ireland is a member of the European Union and uses the euro. Ireland has a mild sea climate. The coldest months are January and February, with air temperatures between 4 to 7 degrees Celsius during the day. The warmest months are July and August, when it is a quite cool 14 to 16 degrees Celsius. The sunniest months are May and June, with about 5 to 7 hours of sunshine per day. As Ireland is surrounded by water, it comes as no surprise that it rains quite a lot, just as in England and Wales. The population of the Republic of Ireland is thought to be about 3 million. Of those, over 1 million live in Dublin. Ireland has a young population, with 44% of the population under the age of 25. There are 2 official languages in Ireland: Irish, which is the national language, and English, which is the language of the majority of the population. Until the early 19th century, almost everyone in Ireland spoke Irish. The change to English happened quickly. By 1891, more than 85% of the population spoke English. Since Ireland became independent, the Irish government has recognized that, if nothing is done, this part of Irish culture will disappear. A growing number of schools teach in the Irish language, and radio and TV programs have helped nearly 20% of the Irish people to develop language skills in both languages. The earliest Irish art is found carved on monuments dating from 2500 to 2000 BC. The large typical Irish stone crosses seen across the country date from the 9th and 10th centuries. Although Irish culture mostly developed under the wings of Great Britain, it has a quality of its own. It rings with magic, and there is a dark and mysterious feeling to it. The many castles that are found everywhere around Ireland add to that idea. There is, for example, the famous Blarney Castle, which is known for the story of the Blarney Stone. The stone is believed to have come from Scotland, where in early times it was used by kings because of its magic powers. One day the King of Ireland saved an old woman from drowning. The old lady turned out to be witch. To thank the king, she told him the secret of the stone. The spell of the Blarney Stone is that you can become fluent in English in return for kissing the stone.